Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Brad and Bottomed Podcast. Hello, Bottomed, my friend.
How are you? Look, I'm feeling good. I don't know how you're feeling. I'm feeling good. Just
fantastic.
Took the wife out to lunch. Yep. She had the pick of the board at Bunnings. She took the one with the sausage with the onions. So, yeah, we've had the two-course meal.
Sure she appreciated that sausage body. Round 13 in the WNBL is
still going.
On hold. It is on hold, and we'll come back to that in a second. And we're up to round 18 in the NBL, but we're going to stay with the WNBL. One game postponed, four games played. We're on hold for the Opals. Oh, we want to talk about that. Then they come back and play three more games to finish the round. I'm going to start with, to me, Sydney Flames on fire, beating Southside. Not a shock, just had to get it done. They look great. And that Melbourne Boomers win against Perth. Talk to me, buddy.
Well, I think we covered the Melbourne Boomers one last week, but the Sydney one, that's terrific, because I actually think that I said this to you last week. You know how you'd said about the Kings, you expected by mid-January the Kings would find their game. It's the Flames.
Oh, thanks for bringing that up. It only took you a minute 40. You've been saying damn show that we're on. But, yeah, I don't know if you've got Alzheimer's or you're just trying to drag me through the mud, but keep going.
Look, the point I'm making is with the Flames, you had it right. It took a while for them to find it, and now I consider them the most dangerous team in the four right now. Okay? You don't just beat Southside. You flog them, okay? And so that's one all now in that series, and they got one to go. And I think they'll flog them again. So I think you'll see Sydney moving up in the four, possibly into one of those two, three positions behind Townsville, who are just cruising along.
Townsville. So yeah, okay. Well, look, I want to go straight into the Opals, because this is a very, very important time. A lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot, I've heard people not solely happy with the team that are going over there, maybe not our strongest, one would argue. Now, we've got some serious games. And just to put it to our viewers, so the situation is our listeners, our listeners, just to put it there, we have not qualified for Olympics. The men did. We knew that. The women have not. The women are now going, and they've got to play Brazil, Germany, and Serbia over, I think it's like over 4 days, games or whatever it is. And we have to come out of that in the top three. To get into the Pool Olympics, or we're out. Now, these are not easy teams. Body, I'm going to throw it at you. You know them well. You know the situation. Talk to me.
Well, I'm concerned because Brazil is going to take some doing, you know. And plus, those Brazilians have long memories back in 2006 when Australia won the gold medal at the World Cup. It was in Brazil, and they knocked out Brazil in the semi. And so, you know, that I think that's going to be a tough game to win. If they win that, hats off, they're going to Paris. But I think that one's questionable. Then we got Germany 2 days later. Now, I'm looking at Lauren Jackson and Tess Madgen, two of our key players in this Opals team, and I'm hoping that they're able to scrub up okay in 2 days, because after Germany on the next day, the 11th, they got Serbia. Now, Serbia has proven to be a bit of a nemesis for Australia in the last few tournaments.
Men and women.
So we're looking – well, this is not – no lay-down misère. It's not like, okay, we're ranked four in the world. We're just going to walk over there and come back with a spot to Paris. That's three tough games.
What are you worried about our team? What's the biggest fear? You said about an age factor bouncing back three games over 4 days. What else are you worried about?
Oh, that's a big one, because, you know, Beck Allen, she's in the team, great player. We've had her on the show. She's a terrific human being.
Love her.
But, you know, she hasn't played a lot of basketball in the last little while, and they're going to need her. Sarah Blitzer's form has been patchy, you know, so there's a few players there. And now on the other side of the ledger, we've got Ezzie Magbegor, Jade Melbourne, Steph Reid, Alana Smith, Mariana Tolo, Sam Whitcomb. Those guys are all going really quite well in their respective competitions. They're all doing well. So, and Izzy Borlase, I like her selection. She's been playing well. She's an Opal of the future. So I don't mind the team, but that Germany game, that is an absolute must win.
God, it sounds like the World Cup for the men that you're talking about as well, that Germany game. It was the same type of thing. This is the thing at the moment is men and women, that it's just so powerful, these leagues, you know, and every league is getting better around the world, which That's means right. every nation is getting better. And, you know, for us, it was the Opals were, you know, a medal or bust. No, it's not like that anymore, right? No, and, I agree with you. And then as a coach, I'd be worried if, you know, if I'm Sydney, you know, Townsville, Melbourne, like these guys have got to come back now. You hope that it's not like, could you imagine if we missed out, right, to come back to that? And then I think there's only like two rounds or two games or whatever it is after that, into playoffs, you know, like that's mentally, there's a lot going through, a lot of flights. It's not an easy situation. So I give it to the girls like that. That is a strong effort. And please, God, they come back. That would be such a shame if we didn't get to go to the Olympics. But I've got to be honest, Boddy, I'm pretty confident.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that because I'm not. I want to see them beat Germany, and then I don't want to see Germany beat somebody else and put us into a three-way tie. You know, if we could get Brazil in that opening game, that would be sensational.
Yeah. Always want to get it, then you're in momentum. Look, let's talk about the Sydney South side game really quickly.
That was the moment of the round for you.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so we'll go straight into the moment of the round. Then, yes, that is my moment of the round for the WNBL. I just thought it was a game where Sydney is starting to climb up the ladder. They've done well. They've had a hot and cold season, but they're now hot. And I thought, you know, the big guns came out to play. You know, Kayla George had 21. I thought, you know, Tess had 13. Diddy had 18. Lauren Nicholson had 21. Like they were really good. On the other side, Bet Cole, good to see. She had 17, and Lauren Jackson 17. And eight. So I just thought that was a good game for the Flames that not only won, but it was actually letting Townsville and Melbourne know you're not on your own.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We're here as well. Just don't forget about us. Extremely well coached, as we know. So that was my moment of the round. Please answer that. And I'd love to know your moment.
Well, I'll give you my moment in a second. I'm just saying I'm not so sure about Bradley.
Right. Okay.
No, I'm talking about you.
Why?
Anyway, moving right. I want to talk about Paige Bradley. She's fine. All right, so moving right along, my moment of the round was Steph Talbot coming back. That's a girl that was All-Star 5 of the World Cup. She's finally come back from ACL. First game back was a convincing win over Canberra. Steph's played 20 minutes, 14 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, a block. Mm. Very good performance. Really encouraging about what's to come. Hopefully the Australian team qualifies for Paris and she'll be in that group.
Yeah, no, that's a good one, and hopefully your dad jokes get better. Anyway, moving on.
It took so long to get even, didn't it?
I was thinking you could hear my mind racing. Well, that is a wrap, really, of the WNBL. Yeah, that's all we can really talk about. Let's hope when we speak next we have the Opals going to the Olympics in Paris. Moving on to the NBL, what a round. My goodness. Now, just for our listeners here, Boddy and I usually don't speak much before we go on air because we really don't want to speak to each other. No, well, more me to him. More me to him. Yeah. Bit of both. But anyway,
The fact that you've said you stopped calling our listeners viewers, because if they could see what I have to see all the time, you sitting there naked at the desk, we wouldn't have any listeners.
Funny, that's what your wife said to me the other day looking at you. She just, had to see what I had to see.
I'm wearing her bra now. Anyway, on we go.
It's a man's ear. Anyway, moving on. Serenity now. Are we going there? So Boddy says to me, maybe we should just, you know, like have a crack who's going to be in the top four and we'll talk about the games upcoming.
Boddy says to me,
what a dumb idea that was.
Have you seen this, though? Look at this drawing. There's no way you can win. If you set aside Melbourne and Perth as pretty much one and two, okay, then you look at Tasmania, 12 and 12. They've got Cairns, Adelaide, Southeast Melbourne, Perth, Sydney. They could end up anywhere with that. They could end up with 17 and 12. They could end up with 12 and 17. Yep. You got Illawarra, 11 and 12. They've got Brisbane, New Zealand, Sydney, Perth, Cairns, Melbourne. Where's that? Where do they finish? I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
There's only one team who I think is – sorry, I shouldn't say there's one team. There's one team that just has to keep winning, and that's Brisbane because their percentage is so low.
Right.
Right? So Brisbane, like – right now we talk, is it 13 and 15? Is it 14 and 14 to get you in? 14. I think for I think 14 you really want. And for Brisbane, it may even have to be 15, right? Because of that low percentage, it's like a loss, basically.
Then they're buggered. Then they're buggered, Brad, because the last three games are Illawarra away, Adelaide at home, and New Zealand away. I can't see them winning all three. I can see them winning, but I can't see them winning all three.
Yeah, I don't. But it also depends, because maybe 14 and 14 get you in, but it's the percentage again, buddy. That's what I'm talking about. And that percentage, just to give you an idea, they're at 97%. That's, you know, points against, points for and stuff.
Yeah.
And they are like the lowest by far, like in that top eight or whatever we're talking about. I do want to throw one smoky at you. Cairns 11 and 14. 11, you look at that. I look at the losses. Right.
Yeah,
that's what you've got to look
right.
at. Because you can't can always get more wins, you can't get less losses, you know. So Cairns are 14 losses, three wins to go. The best they can do is 14 and 14. I reckon that will get you in, but that's not easy, buddy.
They got Tasmania at home, Perth away, Melbourne at home.
Yeah.
Do you see them winning all three?
You can see them winning.
But all three? No.
What have New Zealand got?
Oh, they've got five games, so they're in the best shape in terms of building up their win column. They're 10 and 13. Mm. They've got Perth away. They've got Illawarra at home. That'll be a good one after what we just saw. Yep. They've got Melbourne away. They've got Brisbane at home. They've got Adelaide away. Do you see them winning four of those? Oh, I don't know.
They're a team that can.
Yeah.
They are a team that can, but they're also a team that burps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you look at it, like, they should have got that game in Illawarra. Like, they were great Illawarra. So, and I should say, I was watching that sort of with one monitor in my, I was calling the next game.
Yep.
And I was watching, but I was just looking at that and just silly things that it's just those one percenters, and not that they're playing bad or anything like that. It's just those, you know, like, that's just a turnover you didn't want to take, or that's just a shot you couldn't take. Everyone in the league's doing it, right? But.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't see it. That win from Sydney was massive.
I would say this. I would say this quickly, just on a break before we move on.
No, please go.
31 fouls.
Yeah.
I don't reckon there were 31 fouls on that team that day. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. 36 free throws to the opposition.
I think Modi agreed with you.
Well, but this happens to him every game. It's almost like the league doesn't even want them.
Yeah.
Like, let's just screw them every chance we get. Let's give them a crappy draw.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but there's no way that would, you know, like.
But the one thing is working really, really well for them, and that's Parker Jackson Cartwright with Will McDowell White. That is working a treat. Okay, Sydney, what do you got for me?
I'm not sure if you're aware, but I called Sydney to be really good in January, buddy. So
yes, you did.
Where do we start with Sydney? I mean, you know, let's talk the round first. Thursday night, you go to Southeast Melbourne. There's three imports out, plus Moller, which he's been out for weeks.
He's a starter,
and plus
Matt Kenyon,
good defender.
Who's the starter when Moller's not there?
So let me set this up though.
Southeast
had this similar situation, although Kenyon played in that game with three imports out in Illawarra, and Illawarra hit him with a cricket bat, mate. And they were just like, no, you're not. You're an NBL one team tonight because you didn't bring your great, right? You're an NBL one team. But for the Kings, the thing that was most disappointing, and I'm watching that game, and it's the first play, and I don't know if the Kings start in a zone or whatever. And it is like Andrew Gaze playing with seven NBL one players. Now, I'm not suggesting, like, I thought Ben Ayre's been great. I'm not suggesting that. But what I'm saying is the difference between their best player in Mitch Creek to the others was light and day in that game.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So what is the number one thing you do? We're not going to let Mitch shoot. Not going to let him shoot. The first play of the game, buddy. The first play, kick, drive, bang, wide open.
Wide open, yep.
Wide open, guess who? Mitch Creek hits the three, bang. What does Statman do the next play? Oh, I'm in this. Hits the three, bang. Whatever it was, 9-0, 9-2, whatever it was. Game's done, mate. You have now allowed a young team that is hooping. Yeah, you might get back into the game, but that was disgraceful from the Kings.
Yes,
but yet again, what they did in Adelaide a few weeks ago, then they come back, smash New Zealand, and now, you know, we're doing this on a Monday, and now yesterday comes back and beats Melbourne. I just cannot pick this team, mate. Cannot pick it, but it was a big win by them. Over to you.
Yeah, look, that was an extraordinary win over Melbourne. I liked the way they played, and I would have thought they would have been a happy bunch of campers, but judging by some of the scenes during that game and afterwards where an assistant coach has clashed with a player physically, clearing the court at the end of the game, and there's some other players that have maybe just had enough of these erratic rotations. Mate, there was one stage there, Angus Glover hits a shot. Next thing you know, he's subbed out. Jalen Adams hits a shot. No, it was... The other guy, Denzel
Valentine.
It's a shot, boom, he's subbed out. Sean Bruce, third quarter, misses four threes. He stays in. I can't follow that. Sorry, I just cannot follow that kind of substitution pattern. So I can understand how some people are getting agitated, and yet they played well enough to beat probably the number one team in the competition. You know, they've held first place for such a long time, and they're the team to beat for the championship. So how do you reconcile that?
It would be frustrating to play, you know, no Galloway, because he got injured with a shoulder after playing 26 minutes on Thursday night. No DJ Hogue. You're thinking to yourself, all right, I'm going to play some minutes here, whoever it may be, right? We're down on rotations. But it is, it's tough. I struggle to see it, but I do have to give a shout out to Malawatch, man.
Oh yeah,
how good was he? 18 points, 7 of 11 from the field. They came over my headpiece when I was here and at the game, and they're like, Brad, who are you thinking for MVP? Should it be Malawatch? I'm like, mate, no doubt. That is just, I mean, you know, like Adams, okay, but four turnovers. You know, Valentine, okay, but 9 assists, mind you, for Valentine, which was
good in the end. Yeah, early in the game,
but Malawatch changed the game, and it was great to see him. And he got 25 minutes.
Yes.
So it was great. Anyway, enough of the Kings. Let's move on. Let's go to Adelaide, because I do want to say some great news coming out of there. DJ signs and extends the deal for 3 years. And I love what he said. I'm just happy to play where someone wants me. Love it. Move on. Love it.
Yeah, move on, because you don't know how to say Vasiljevic. But anyway, it's Dejan Vasiljevic. It's not DJ.
DJ. We're like this, mate. Hey, I want to throw something, and you can answer about DJ in a second. All this talk in Illawarra, how Justin Tatum is outstanding, turn this team around and sign him. And I agree. I'm one of them saying that. All right. Even if Illawarra were to falter now, you'd still sign Justin Tatum, right? Doesn't matter. You sign him, he's shown enough. When is Scotty Ninnis going to get that same love after what he's given this team? Right now, they're the hottest team in the league.
5-1 this year.
Right.
Since New Year's, they're 6-5 under Scotty, and they're 10-14 and a long shot for the top six. But, you know, who do they come home with? Sydney, Tasmania, Brisbane, New Zealand. That's a long shot to make it, but they can. The fate's in their own hands. So, yeah, look, originally when Scotty was asked to be assistant coach with CJ Bruton, I don't think he had any aspirations. In fact, I know he had no aspirations for the head coaching job. And then the circumstances changed. He stepped up. And again, I don't think he had aspirations beyond the end of the season. However, how these boys have responded to him and how they've been playing, I think that sparked, you know, that enthusiasm within him that, yeah, you know, if we can re-sign
Dejan Vasiljevic Humphreys. You're the GM of Adelaide.
Wait a minute, I'm going to have a portion of my brain removed.
God forbid that ever happens. But you're the GM of Adelaide, and you're going to say to yourself, do we throw everything we can at a Gorgian? Hey, I don't know what's going on with Trevor. Hang on. I don't know what's going on with Trevor Gleeson at the moment, right? You know, Milwaukee, the sacking, he went there with him. Doc Rivers is coming in, bringing in his assistant coaches. So let's just go there. Do you go and get the best on the market? Right? Because that's Gorge, that's Gleeson. Do you do that? Or do you go with a homegrown guy that everyone's like, I think so? What do you think? You're the GM.
I think this is a bit like, I don't know if you follow AFL, but for the last couple of years, anytime a club had some issue with its coach in the AFL, Alistair Clarkson's name was mentioned as, he's the man. And the thing was, most of the time, the journos making these comments would not contact Alistair Clarkson because they knew what he'd say. I'm not interested. So that rules him out. Now, who's gone to Brian and said, Brian, we know you said you want to get back into coaching. Who are you looking at? Like, nobody's asked him that question. And one thing, you know Brian as well as I do. I mean, you do know him far better than I do.
I'm not sure if you're aware, but I was an assistant coach for him many years ago. Move on.
I'm not aware, but I think the listeners are. There's a couple of people just shot themselves. Anyway.
And the viewers.
The point is, why would Gorge come to this program, looking at what he's what this program has looked like for the last few years? Why would he, as a man that's about 70, you know, he's in the twilight of his coaching career, why wouldn't he go to an environment that already wants him? And you know the Sydney Kings want him. You know Mahmoud Abdul Fattah has got to win a championship to stay in that role, and even then he may not. So you know what's coming in Sydney. This talk about linking Brian, oh, they're talking to Brian, they want Brian. Of course they do. Of course they do, but it's a non-story. It's a non-story. If he comes...
That. All right, while you're in there, let's go with your best moment.
Oh, my best moment was Thursday of last week to see those Phoenix guys. And we've been really critical because they've been crap. And the thing about it has been that even though you're down players, you can still play with heart. And they haven't. They've been weak as water. Okay. But in that game, they came out and they showed so much heart. I wrote in my review of the game, you see the big word on the side and the baseline on both sides, Heartland. Right, because they're playing at the State Basketball Centre, which is in the heartland of Victorian basketball. But they showed the heart. Maybe that just triggered it. But they showed so much heart. I love the way those kids played. And they were terrific. But then we go to Perth, where Illawarra beat them last time. But if you look historically, Illawarra's record in Perth is dreadful. But they come out, they flog them again. And they show yet again, as they did last time, stop Bryce, you stop Perth.
All right, hang on, let me ask you this. Is Illawarra Bryce Cotton and the Perth Wildcats kryptonite?
Oh, geez. That's such a nice question. That's a fun question. I'm looking. We got one more game between Illawarra and Perth, and that is in Wollongong. So if they shut Bryce down yet again, I would give you the thumbs up on that. Absolutely.
You know, it's amazing. If you look at the career of Bryce Cotton versus Illawarra, he has killed them. Like, you know, you're talking 45 points in grand finals, had 40-point game. So it is quite funny. Well, I'm going to give you my best moment. And to be honest with you, there were two, and it sort of revolves in yours. You were talking how the Thursday night was.
I was
going to go to Southeast Melbourne to play that way they did, and then they backed up and did well against Perth.
Yes, they couldn't do it. Really,
I'm going to stay with Illawarra, though. Everyone thinking, here they go. They lost two at home. They're in trouble. God. They go over and they teach Perth a lesson on their home court.
Yeah.
Then they fly home and do New Zealand, right? Now, both Perth, you know, beating Perth in Perth is always a big win, but New Zealand needed and wanted that win. They were both on level ground. So whoever won that game was in the six. So it was like a double win. So, you know, I say to Tatum, and everyone was like, oh, hang on a sec, let's not sign him. He's just lost two games at home. And those two games were bad losses. I mean, on the buzzer to Cairns. By the way, do you know if they won that game against Cairns, they'd be sitting in third spot now?
Mm.
And that's on the buzzer.
Yeah.
Right. Just like that's how close it is. But my best moment definitely goes out to the Illawarra Hawks to be able to say, way to come back and just put some grease on that thing.
Just adding to that, remember too that New Zealand came in after a very, very good win over Tasmania.
Yeah.
So they're feeling good about themselves. But, you know, I will say.
How are you feeling about Tasmania at the moment?
I think they get up for the right games and then they drop ones you expect them to. Okay. You know, like I expected them to beat Melbourne the week before and they did. And I did. And in this one, I tipped New Zealand because that's the way Tassie has been a bit this season, a little up and down. I think Jordan Crawford has been one of the outstanding players of the first half of the season, but he's gone a little bit missing compared to what he was doing. And and Milton Doyle, since his father's death, has not been quite the same person.
Yeah.
And I think
we can
all understand
that. He was getting
back
to it, Milton Doyle, and obviously, our heart goes out to him, obviously. But, you know, look, he hit some big shots, Milton Doyle. But, Jackson Cartwright, I mean, you know, he had 25 points in that game. He was great, right?
Don't confuse him with Jordan Crawford.
Then I'm going to Jordan Crawford, you know, 27 minutes, 8 points, 3 or 7. It's not enough. Yeah. I thought Milton Doyle, you know, 19 points, but he just felt like it was the end of the game when he went bang, bang, bang. You need a
four threes in the last quarter. So
yeah,
that's 12
just
points right there.
I don't know. It's we did say here a little while ago that when Will Magnay plays well for this team, they don't lose. But he's there, so I can't pick it. But they're not losing games by a lot. You know, they're not like 20 and 30 points. No.
They're all winnable. They're all winnable. Absolutely. So I don't take them out of that category of I've still got them around Melbourne, Perth, Tassie. I've still got them around that mark.
Okay. All right. Mate, give me a rattler, and then I'm going to come to you, and I want to ask you who you think is going to
I don't have a rattler, mate. I don't have a Richard rattler. It's a Rosen rattler. You give me your rattler.
Oh, well, I'll give you my rattler. I want to shout out to Alex Starr. All this crap about, you know, next star, we're going to wrap him up, you know, shut him down. He's number one, number two, whatever it is. Nah, he's having none of that. Right. He's having none of that. He's playing. And he came back and he was wow in that game. Right. Against I think it was Southeast, wasn't it? Yeah. He was wow. And I love the fact that was, you know, that it could have been so easy just to he's done enough. He's done enough. And for our listeners, body, not anyone else, but for our listeners, you know, there's a lot of talk when there's big contracts on there, you shut him down, you don't want something to happen, blah, 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 blah. I do love the fact that he's just played, said, nah, I want to win a championship with this team and I'm staying. So my rattler goes out to him, go with your nasty.
Well, my nasty, first of all, I want to say my player of the round was Mitch Creek, just by the way.
31 so
points, 29
you
points,
can't.
Average 30. Yeah,
yeah, was, I hate agreeing great. With you, but you can't go against him.
You like being right. Okay, so my nod's nasty. Now I've forgotten what it was.
Oh, gosh, yes.
A little bit of dementia setting in. No, it was Ryan Brokoff on the commentary. He's invented a new word. He said that Southeast Melbourne are playing with freedness. I think he might have meant freedom or playing freely, but he invented a new word, freedness, and I think any commentary where there's a new word invented is always one that should have been
listened
to.
Don't worry, Ryan. Body got on me for years about stuff that I used to say as well.
So hey, look how articulate you are now.
Yeah, fantastic, aren't I? Ain't, mate? Yeah, it's awesome. Hey, listen, go. Thursday night, Cairns, Tasmania. I'm going Cairns. I know, it's so hard.
No, I'm going Tasmania because Wardenburg got hurt late in that game against Illawarra. He'll be out.
He's been struggling, mate. They might be better without him, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
I know how you mean that, and I may agree, but that's another big body.
They need Quatnoy to stop fouling, mate.
Quatnoy?
Yeah.
Or they also need Bull Quoll to stop.
Why don't we say Bull Quoll?
why don't we say that? Okay, why don't we say no Bull Quoll tour? Anyway, let's just say Bull Quoll, he's complaining far too much. It diminishes his game. It distracts him. He fouls. Look, just make the adjustment, son. And in that game,
you're too important for your team. You're too important.
When they're getting flogged by Adelaide, instead of settling in and, you know, playing like a team, you got Pat Miller going off doing his own thing, missing his first eight shots or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. You got Tajir McCall, you know, flopping all over the place, turning the ball over. You got Lap Mayan complaining about calls. It's like, fellas, hey, gather your consciousness and focus on playing good basketball and winning the
Loving
game.
Loving Armstrong, by the way. I do Me like too. Jared Armstrong.
Yeah, I'm going Tasmania. Like, that.
All right, Adelaide at home versus Sydney.
It depends what Sydney we get because we know what Adelaide we're going to get, and I'm going to go with Adelaide.
Yeah, I'm going to go against them because I just can't rely on what Sydney team is going to show up. Illawarra at home versus Brizzy. Oh, and Brisbane coming off a bad loss to Melbourne as well after coming off a bad loss versus Perth. Brisbane.
Yes. They're not up with the top teams. They're in the mix, but they're not up. With
every
the
time a team's been like that this year, buddy, it's been the same things happen. I'm going to go Illawarra in a close one at home.
Yes, so am I. I mean, that lost the last one by a couple of points.
Melbourne versus Southeast can't go against Melbourne,
no.
Especially after a loss, mate. They're not losing.
No, they're winning.
Tassie at home versus Adelaide. I'm going Tassie.
Yep. And that's
Perth
the two
at home
wins.
Versus New Zealand. Oh, man. You know what? I'm going New Zealand. I'm going New Zealand.
All right. Me too. Because, they're still in the hunt. But by you saying Tasmania's beating Adelaide, you're basically saying Adelaide will be cooked. That's it. They're out of the hunt. Yeah, that'll be their 15th loss, and as you say, you can't remove losses.
And I think they've been fabulous in the back end of the season, just too hard at the beginning of the season. And that's where you say with the Kings, they were just so lucky they played so well in the first 10 games. It still kept them in there, and that's where it starts with. Body, we're out of here, mate. Please, God, the Opals are doing
well. They're not gone for another week yet.
But we'll get there. But to all our listeners, thank you so much. to our Seinfeld expert, Manzeer Botti. You have a lovely week, my friend. And love to the family, to all our listeners. Thank you so much. Check us out on socials. We love the feedback. And, of course, to our man, Chucky Harbison. He said to me, stop mentioning my name. So there it is. I won't say it again, I promise. See you next time.